Hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Free Man Beyond the Wall podcast. This is your host, Mance Rader. This episode is going to be on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Be on my website, freemanbeyondthewall.com. In the podcast section, there is a link to my new podcast host, and it will be on libertarianinstitute.org in the blog and the podcast section. I want to remind you that I wrote two books, Freedom Through Memedom and The Kids Are Not All Right. They are available on Amazon. Just search Mance Rader. They're the first two things that come up. And they're available on my website, freemanbeyondthewall.com/store. And they're only available for cryptocurrency on the website. Today, I am welcoming Eric Mulder. Eric is the chair of the Libertarian Party in Arapahoe County, Colorado. He is a veteran of the war in Afghanistan. And as he will explain, the war in Afghanistan, when he came home, he started to go more towards libertarianism after he saw what was going on over there. Eric has decided to throw his hat in the race for sheriff of Arapahoe County in Colorado. I needed to talk to him because being an anarchist and being a voluntarist, hearing somebody who believes in the NAP and somebody who believes, you know, a real civil libertarian deciding to run for office, especially the office of sheriff, the highest ranking law enforcement officer in a county, I wanted to hear what he had to say and how he would handle it if he was in charge, and what he would tell his police officers how to police and the kind of changes that he would make. So he's a great guy, as you'll see from this interview. I think all of you will like him, and I think you're going to find this really interesting. So without any further delay, here's a recording of my conversation with Eric Mulder. So how are you doing today, Eric?
Doing great. Doing great, Mance. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. Doing really good. From what I understand, you are running for the office of sheriff of Arapahoe County, Colorado?
Yep, that is correct.
Cool. Now, I was turned on to you through a Facebook group, which has a lot of anarcho-capitalists, voluntarists, libertarians in it. What do you normally, if someone asks you your ideology, what do you label yourself as?
I usually label myself as a civil libertarian. I believe that my goals are focused on reforming the civil aspect of the law, standing up for things such as civil liberties, standing up for First Amendment rights, standing up for the right of due process. Those are the issues that I'm the most passionate about.
Okay. So from what I understand, you were in the military, you were in the Army for 6 years.
Yep, that is correct.
And you were deployed to Afghanistan for almost a year, 11 months, right?
Yep, about 10 months and 19 days to be exact.
And how, what year was that?
That was from around 2011 to 2012. We were deployed sometime around the summer season.
What were your impressions? What was going on over there?
My impressions on Afghanistan were that the United States had screwed up royally in a foreign policy decision. Over there, I saw overwhelming amounts of corruption, especially amongst the local and regional elected officials. Many of whom had direct ties to the presidential administration at the time, including familial ties. And a lot of them were basically using their positions to entrench their own wealth, to even engage in illegal activities.
Now, before you joined the Army, what were you? Did you consider yourself a civil libertarian?
Before I joined the Army, I wasn't quite sure what my ideology had been. Like when it came time to register with a political party to vote in Colorado, I was an independent for several years. I only became a libertarian shortly after my time coming back from Afghanistan, actually.
And did the time in Afghanistan, your time in Afghanistan, did that, I assume that that was a huge inspiration into adopting libertarianism?
Absolutely, because during my time in Afghanistan, I started to look more into the ideology and look into things that people such as Ron Paul had to say about foreign policy. And from my own eyes, I could see that he was really onto something.
Now, you're currently the chair of the Libertarian Party of Arapahoe County. That's correct, right?
Yep, that is correct.
When did you assume that role?
So I was elected chair of the Libertarian Party of Arapahoe County fairly recently, actually. We just had our county convention back in April of this year. Prior to that, I'd been the outreach director for the county party.
What's the population of Arapahoe County?
So Arapahoe County is about 600,000 individuals. The city that I live in is about half the county at about 350,000.
Okay. And how much of a presence does the Libertarian Party have there?
We're mostly picking up. We're starting to rebuild our presence in Arapahoe County. I believe I'm the first sheriff candidate to run under the Libertarian ticket in almost over a decade, actually.
Now, is the incumbent like one of these people who's like multiple term?
He is going for his second outright elected term. He's been the sheriff for 5 years. And the reason for that odd numbered amount is because when the sheriff before him retired, he was the undersheriff. And the sheriff who retired before him nominated him to fulfill the remainder of his term, which the county commission voted in a 5-0 hands down nomination. And then he won another term in his own right. And now he's seeking a second term.
When is the election?
The election's going to be on November 6th, same as the ones for the federal and other statewide offices.
Okay. So have you done any appearances, talk to the public at all yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've hit up numerous town halls. I participated in my first candidate forum. I have my next debate coming up on August 4th. I want to say I've done over 20 public appearances so far, and that includes outreach booths with the Libertarian Party, going to events that are hosted by organizations outside the Libertarian Party.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome that you have the ability to at least get out there. When you do these events, what's the crux of your message?
The crux of my message whenever I'm doing these events are that mass incarceration is becoming a major problem. And the reason it's been a major problem is that our law enforcement has been complicit in the federal government's demands to enforce the war on drugs and to impose more laws and to throw more people in jail. My approach is simply, we can use alternatives to jail. And alternatives to jail, not necessarily government programs, but just any sort of alternative, it's been shown to reduce long-term costs, reduce the rate of people recommitting offenses, reduce the rate of recidivism. And overall, it has a positive benefit on reducing crime, and you don't have to engage in these authoritarian law and order type approaches.
Mm-hmm. Now, I also read that part of your platform is ending civil asset forfeiture. That would once again, and it pretty much sounds like anything that you would want to do would, you'd be butting heads with the feds.
Oh, I certainly have no doubt in my mind that would happen.
Yeah, because you know you're seemingly more taking the kind of, you're looking at more of a nullification kind of route when it comes to federal law. So how when you talk about these things and people come up to you and comment, what are they saying?
Well, the district I live in, it's a county that's purple, but it's leaning blue. So when I speak about these aspects, a lot of people have said, I like this approach because either they themselves or someone they know have been victim to this culture of criminalization in which we're treating people like criminals and they haven't even been charged with a crime yet. So when I've taken this approach and taken this stance, a lot of people have been very supportive, especially because a lot of people in my county have very, we'll put it, not so nice opinions about Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
what's the demographic? Is there African American, Spanish? What's the demographic? Like, what's the mix? I'm from New York. I'm from New York City originally. So, mm-hmm. And I live in Atlanta. So, mm-hmm. I've always been, and I lived in South Florida. I've always been in a multi ethnic area. So, mm-hmm. I actually prefer it. But prefer it. And mm-hmm. But what's it like there?
So Arapahoe County is very interesting, and the decades prior to this one, it had been treated previously as a safe zone for the Republicans. It was known as a Republican suburbanite enclave, but that's been shifting since about 2008, because in 2008, the county went to Barack Obama, and it's been slowly shifting more and more towards the Democratic side of things, especially because recent immigrant populations who've been priced out of the city of Denver, not next door to us, they've been moving over into Aurora. And Aurora has had a diverse community for several years. In the city of Aurora alone, we have predominant Hispanic communities, we have predominant Ethiopian communities, Somalian communities, Vietnamese communities. It's overwhelming how much diversity we have in our county.
What is the actual, what do the crime statistics look like when it comes to violent crimes? You know, to me, I don't even like the word crime. I like, you know, violation, because violation, I can relate that more to the non-aggression principle, things like that. Actual victims of crime where somebody's person or their property is damaged. How much of that goes on in Arapaho?
Well, in the county of Arapaho, where I'm running for sheriff of, the sheriff does keep annual statistics of these things. And physical assaults have gone up a little bit. Homicides have gone up a little bit. And we've actually been having a recent issue in dealing with car break-ins, in which people will park their cars overnight, they'll leave valuables inside. Then they'll get up in the morning and they'll see that their car has been sometimes even put on cinder blocks.
What do you think is the cause of this crime? Is it too much government? Is government getting in the way of the economy? Is there just too much regulation on business where they can't expand and hire people? What do you think is going on?
I'd say one of the largest contributors to crime where we live is just simply educating the public on how to maintain a good, proper presence. I used to work private security, and we found that the most effective means at reducing criminal behaviors and criminal activities is to just maintain a good situational presence. That means you maintain a friendly neighborhood. That means you're constantly engaging with your neighbors and being actively participating in the community. And it also, in relation to the car break-ins, making sure your valuables are hidden, that sort of thing. In terms of how government is going, I would state that the Attorney General of the district my county lives in, George Brockler, he's running for Attorney General in the Colorado elections on the Republican ticket. He shares a lot of views that are in line with Jeff Sessions. And the sheriff himself I'm running against has basically stated that Amendment 64, which has decriminalized marijuana use in Colorado, he has stated that it's made his job harder. So basically, the approach our government has been taking is still firmly in the law and order effect, and we're finding that that's not necessarily effective.
Do you think, in your personal opinion, that the legalization, is it legalization or decriminalization there?
It's kind of a mix of both. And what we're struggling with in Colorado is there's lots of gray areas all over the map, and various municipalities exercise what's known as home rule, where they state that they are using their home rule option to ignore certain parts of state law. This doesn't mean they can go off the rails, but there are certain provisions that they're allowed to ignore as part of their home rule establishment. And what we're finding with marijuana is various jurisdictions have taken wildly different approaches, and even various counties have different approaches. In Arapaho County alone, there's rules on what you can grow in unincorporated areas, what you can grow in incorporated areas. And then in the city that I live in, Aurora, which is in the county, recreational marijuana is legal to sell, but medicinal marijuana is not. So you have all these overlapping jurisdictions and all these overlapping rules. And then you have on top of that, municipal legislators, municipal council members, members in the Colorado General Assembly, they're seeing marijuana as a possible cash crop. So sometimes the default answer has been, uncomfortably too often, politicians saying, let's raise the taxes on marijuana to pay for this pet project, or let's raise the taxes on marijuana here to pay for this pet project. And what they're finding is that marijuana is starting to go back underground again. It's going back into the black market that Amendment 64 was trying to break it out of.
Do you think, like you said, the sheriff is blaming it, is saying that marijuana is causing crime and things like that. Do you see the evidence of that?
Well, what he's done in the past is he's engaged in various raids on illegal grow operations in which somebody has too many plants and somebody gave an anonymous tip to the sheriff's department. They conduct a warrant and that sort of thing. But what's really interesting is that in the 2 years prior to this one, in his annual reports in 2015 and 2016, he's repeatedly cited the number of people he's arrested for marijuana, but in his 2017 report, he has not mentioned marijuana at all, which leads me to the suspicion that perhaps he's finding his law and order stances, not well received in the public, because he understands that the county is predominantly unaffiliated and Democrats. So it strikes me as him trying to play the partisan game, him trying to sweeten up his reporting and his image so that way people don't ask him too many questions.
Now, is there someone running on the Democrat ticket?
Yep, there is. The Democratic candidate is exactly the same as the one who ran in 2014. And it appears right now that he's putting even less energy into this race. He has reported in his campaign finance reports, he has raised literally $0 and 0 cents. His website is not operational, and he has not released a Twitter post on his campaign page in over 4 years. So from all appearances, it seems like he's running with a placeholder mindset just to give the Democratic Party one more line on the ballot. And it's starting to show, because I've been speaking with Democratic supporters, and many of them are frankly dissatisfied with their own candidate simply because he's made his presence very minimal and he's putting what appears to be very minuscule effort into the race. And part of why I got in was because 2014, it was the incumbent sheriff, the Democrat I just mentioned. In 2018, it's the incumbent sheriff and the same Democrat again. So my mindset was, it's time to bring a new perspective into this race. It's time to introduce the Libertarian platform. And for 4 months, I was actually the only other person to file against the incumbent sheriff. So the Democrat filed after me.
I want to ask you this because I think this is really important. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm an anarchist. Mm-hmm. I would have all police be private, all policing be private. But if I could, I would much rather have a very minarchist society. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I mean, it's preferable to what we have now. I mean, I do not think it's hyperbole to say that we do live in a police state. Mm-hmm. Because you can't say no to a police officer. If you were to win this, mm-hmm. what would you take the approach as a libertarian of telling your officers there are laws on the book, there are statutes that you are supposed to be out there enforcing that are no victim, no crime, no victim mm-hmm. statutes. Mm-hmm. What would you tell your officers to ignore those, or I mean, how would you bring the libertarian approach overall, big picture, to the police department in Arapahoe?
And that's a really great question. And what I would like to do is, we've actually done this before. There has been a libertarian who was elected sheriff to a county and still serving that county. He's no longer a libertarian, but he's been elected as one. His name is Bill Masters out in San Miguel. He wrote an entire book called Drug War Addiction, and he's been a decades-long law enforcement officer in the sheriff's department. And what he details in his book is he states that as the sheriff and as law enforcement officers, there is a high degree on latitude in determining who does and doesn't have to go to jail. So that means from that perspective, we can pursue alternatives to jail for people who've been caught in victimless crimes, things such as drug possession, because we absolutely don't want to encourage people to do drugs. But at the same token, it goes back to the approach I'm taking, that treatment as opposed to incarceration is a better long-term solution. So as sheriff, we can absolutely determine priority for who's going to be placed inside the jail, and we can work with others in our community to find alternatives.
How... I would assume that they talk about consent to the governed. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's been a myth for a century and a half, uh-huh. 2 centuries now. Mm-hmm. Is that the kind of approach that you would take, where you would gauge the will of the people, and even if the will of the people was against libertarian principles. How would you, like, if you saw that the will of the people, if you went out there and started talking, mm-hmm. and that they were, you know, because the war on drugs, mm-hmm. and it disproportionately affects Black communities, minority communities. The problem mm-hmm. with that, the problem with it is it was started because Black and minority leaders went to the government and said, do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, I mean, and government, you know, your typical government is not going to say no to growing itself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What would you do? Yeah. I mean, so what would you do if you gauged the will of the people when the will of the people was like, no, you have to do something. You have to do something about this. And it was totally against your libertarian principles, what they wanted to do.
Ultimately, I would lean back onto my libertarian principles, such as the principles of non-aggression, no victim, no crime. So if the county's demographics suddenly shifted to where everyone was saying, you got to round up all these undocumented people and throw them into cages, I would point out that that sort of conduct is not only unconstitutional, but it's very immoral. And I would stand my principles and stand my ground, stating, if you do not like the way I'm doing this as sheriff, you know how to check a box on a ballot.
That's a good answer. It's just that's a nice in your face answer. How are you funding all this?
My biggest source of fundraising has mostly just been through personal relationships. I've spoken to friends and family members all across the country, actually. I was able to go to the Libertarian National Convention this year, where I was able to connect with some donors. I'm using a platform that's called crowdpack.com. And what that's allowed me to do is it allows me to point to people and say, hey, you can give right here on my website. And what's great about CrowdPack is that I receive every dollar that that person donates to me. If someone wants to give me $25, I'm going to get all 25 of those. CrowdPack just asks them to make a small tip in addition to what they're donating, so that way they could pay their overhead costs, pay for their administration, that sort of thing. So that's been a highly effective platform. And I've been running predominantly on a small donations approach, which has actually made me the second highest fundraiser in the race. We've raised almost $3,000 so far. Just by telling people, if you can give $5 here, $25 there, that'll help me go a long way, because I'm telling people exactly what their funding is going to, which is helping me pay for web hosting, pay for bumper stickers, pay for leaflets, all sorts of things. And that approach has been very successful so far.
Do you believe that if you got elected that you could do something that you could achieve something that libertarians just normally don't achieve? One, getting elected. That's an accomplishment unto itself. Uh-huh. But do you believe that you could actually be, you know, in the society that we're working with right now, that you could be a blueprint for other, you know, for other libertarians that might want to run for law enforcement office and, you know, bring the principles of non-aggression and no victim, no crime to other communities?
I definitely believe I could, because I've actually had a few people approach me stating they love what I've had to say and they love the campaign I've been running, and they've been interested possibly in running their own campaigns in their own jurisdictions. And these are people all across the anarcho spectrum, including people who aren't necessarily libertarians, but they definitely have the libertarian mindset of abolishing the state. So to which I state, great, this is excellent, because if you're the only person who has something to say and there's nobody in the race who's saying it, it's perfectly okay to file the paperwork and be that candidate who's got to say it.
What do you have to do to win in November?
What I will have to do to win in November is I will continue to have to hit the ground game. One of the biggest things I run into, especially with the sheriff's race in particular, is voter apathy. I've run into people who didn't even know you could vote for the sheriff. So part of what it takes to overcome that is getting out there and reaching people in person. I've been able to hit candidate forums. I've got a debate coming up, and I'll be soon doing a phone banking and canvassing operation, because I've spoken with various political organizations who offer candidate training. They have said that the bread and butter is getting in front of people. And they've also said that 90% of politics is literally showing up. I'm also seeking endorsements from unconventional organizations. They haven't made their decisions yet, but I've done a few candidate interviews, and a lot of them have been very impressed with what I've had to say. one of the biggest things I've gotten on the trail so far is people saying that they're considering voting for a libertarian for the first time in their life. Or I'm getting people saying, oh, I didn't know libertarians support this, or I didn't know libertarians support that, which leads to them, after I've said my piece and said what I've had to say about the race, it leads them to saying my three favorite words. That makes sense.
It's really sad when you start getting out there and talking to people about what we believe in, mm-hmm. and they're just woefully ignorant of it. And then you realize that we're not only tasked with living the NAP and living non-aggression, but it's like almost each and every one of us has to be a teacher.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We have what's called three tiers of candidates in the Libertarian Party: placeholder, educational, and major campaign. And I state that regardless of what level candidacy you're running, every candidate is an educational candidate, because you're going to get people who either A, don't know anything about the office you're running for, or B, they won't even know what a libertarian is. So in a lot of cases, if you're dealing with the general public who's not very politically savvy, for a lot of them, you're probably going to be the first libertarian they've ever met and talked to in person.
Yeah. And first impressions are lasting impressions.
Absolutely.
But maybe that's good, because, a real political wonk, one that follows everything, could, has the impression that libertarianism is the 2016 convention and naked guys walking across the stage.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm running into a lot, is a lot of people, their experience with libertarianism, if they've had any, has been through getting into arguments with people on the internet regarding libertarianism. And I found that Facebook is a highly polarizing tool at best. So I found that the best way to get libertarian ideas out to people and have a good dialogue is to do so outside of Facebook. Meet people in their own natural settings. Meet people at group outings, group events, places that are in person, because you'll find that the discourse is not only more civil, but when people aren't able to scroll their phone in the middle of a conversation to pull up an article they've seen on Google, they'll have to rely more on their own knowledge, and they'll be much more receptive to hearing other interpretations in person.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, and I really hope you win, because I would like to see, from everything you said, your priorities are solid, and I would really like to see somebody get into the highest office of law enforcement in their community and really go to work on policing, use the way a libertarian would police, would police their neighbors.
Oh yeah,
because absolutely. I think most police tend to forget that the people out there are your neighbors, and they're to be respected. So, any websites or anything that you want to plug, do that right now.
Absolutely. If you or anyone else would like to support this campaign, you can go to my website, MULDER4Sheriff.com. That's where also you can give to my CrowdPack page. Anything helps, even $5 helps. You could also like my campaign page on Facebook at Mulder for Sheriff, and you could follow me on Twitter and Instagram, also at Mulder for Sheriff.
Well, I appreciate your time. I like what you had to say. Whenever I hear that people who are liberty minded and people who are just of the mind that the state is the state is cancer, mm-hmm. as I'm sure you believe, especially after your experiences in Afghanistan, somebody who wants to give it a shot to show people that there is a different way that we can do things. And that's what I'm all about with doing these interviews that I'm going to do, is trying to shine a light on people who are going out there to bring the message of non-aggression, private property, things like that, to the public, and especially through campaigns where you can really get into people, you can really get in front of people. Mm-hmm. And I just want to see more people converted to our way of thinking. That's all I care about. So keep up the good work. I hope you win, man, because I would love, I'd love to see you succeed and have you write a book one day, and that be an influence to people, you know, to law enforcement agencies all over the place. So, you know, Eric Mulder, you know, good luck, and thank you for your time.
Thank you again, Mance. It's been a pleasure.
I want to thank you for tuning into the Free Man Beyond the Wall podcast. I want to thank Eric for coming on. I want to remind you about my books, Freedom Through Memedom and The Kids Are Not All Right. Check them out on Amazon or check them out on my website, freemanbeyondthewall.com/store, where you can get them for cryptocurrency. That's it. I'll be back at you in a couple days with another podcast. So take care. Bye.